Hi, this is Daniel Garber, the movies for CulturalMining.com and CIUT 89.5 FM. I'm recording this in my home once again to tell you about new movies you can watch in your home. This week I have two documentaries and a new comedy. There's a Palestinian director traveling the world trying to make his film, Afghani directors trying to save their films, and a man in Canada trying to rescue a walrus from a swimming pool. The Walrus and the Whistleblower, directed by Nathalie Bibeau. Marineland is a huge amusement park in Niagara Falls, Ontario, centered on its performing animals. Built in the 1960s, it attracts huge crowds. Visitors love watching trainers diving off the noses of orcas and dolphins jumping in rhythm like synchronized swimmers. There are porpoises, belugas, and walruses all happily doing tricks for the fish rewards they're handed. But the world is shocked in 2012 when the Toronto Star prints a front page expose about the maltreatment of its animals. When not performing for audience, they're kept in filthy, cramped cells, much like prisons. They're force-fed drugs and made to perform in over-chlorinated pools. They're caught at sea as infants and separated from their mothers, who might be killed in the process. And when they die, they're dumped into mass graves on the amusement park's own property. Who spilled the tea on this explosive issue? Phil DeMare, a trainer who worked there since his early 20s. He learned the trade as he went along and became an integral part of the show. He's most attached to a walrus he calls Smoochie. He milk-fed the baby walrus when it was brought there and became its surrogate mother. They bonded like a true family. So he's disturbed by how badly Smoochie and the other animals are being treated there. An open secret shared by all the trainer's employees. When Marineland doesn't change its ways, he goes to the press. His whistleblowing leads to a bill in Parliament, and he becomes a spokesperson for animal rights. But he's also vilified by the park's owner, John Holler, who launches a series of slap lawsuits to stifle him. Who will succeed in the end? DeMare or Marineland? And can he save Smoochie? This documentary is a first-hand look at the plight of marine mammals as told by Phil DeMare. Marineland doesn't cooperate in making the film. DeMare is an unusual character, in turn passionate, angry, and even rude. It's a very personal view of him. But his love for the animals, especially Smoochie, is undeniable. And the hidden camera footage taken inside the park is very disturbing. You can see why he's fighting so hard and why the documentary is so popular. This won top audience award at Hot Docs this year. So if you haven't made up your mind yet, The Walrus and the Whistleblower will totally change your opinion on keeping whales in captivity. The Forbidden Reel, directed by Ariel Nasser. In Kabul, there's a building that stands behind filigreed metal gates. It holds a treasure trove of Afghan culture and history wound around movie reels in metal cases. What are they, where they come from, and how did they survive? So the building is called Afghan Films, and its archive contains a crucial record of the country's past. Through war and peace, modernism, communism, and civil war, Afghan Films was founded by film directors who wanted to create a national cinema and express themselves. Influenced by Iranian, European, Hollywood, and Bollywood movies, they created works interesting and accessible to Afghanis. And they continued producing and showing their films through the Civil War, indeed until the Taliban was at their gate. That's when the archive was safely hidden and preserved in a room behind a plaster wall. This isn't a spoiler, but how this all happened, is a really fascinating watch. So this amazing documentary tells the history of modern Afghanistan through these films. I'm talking romances, war stories, battles, dramas, and newsreels. The cameramen were recording missiles landing in Kabul. Films made under Soviet rule still depicted stories of Mujahideen fighters, their massive crowds and city squares, girls in poppy fields lacing flowers through their hair, travelers walking with camels along mountain passes, and somber footage of a past president hanging from a pole. The documentary talks to people like Yasemin Yarmal, who's a genuine Afghan movie star, fascinating character, and directors, engineer Latif and Siddiq Barmak, who give first-hand accounts of what happened. And it's even a bit of a thriller, how they managed to save these forbidden reels from the Taliban. Not what you think. So this documentary gives a view of Afghan culture like nothing you've ever seen before. Great documentary. It Must Be Heaven, written and directed by Elie Suleiman. Elie Suleiman is a Palestinian film director who lives in Nazareth. He lives a simple, quiet life, observing his lemon tree, listening to neighbors, and drinking coffee or wine at nearby cafes, always wearing his trademark Panama hat and dark-rimmed glasses. But his life changes when he travels abroad for a series of business meetings. He flies first to Paris and then to Manhattan, but maintains his lifestyle as a quiet observer until he ends up going back home again. But the simple outline doesn't really capture the feelings behind this comic film. It's actually a series of brief, whimsical tableaus, some one-off, some repeated, in the style of filmmakers like Jacques Tati. This is basically a silent film with only occasional lines spoken by the people he meets. Some scenes are cute, like a little bird that keeps landing on his laptop as he tries to write. Others are more political, dealing with the pervasive presence of surveillance, military, and police forces in all three countries. So you see Israeli soldiers happily exchanging sunglasses in a car driving past, and then you see there's a young woman blindfolded in the back seat. There's a scene in Paris metro where he's frightened by an angry man who somehow manages to drink his beer in a threatening way. Some scenes are spiritual. There's an angel pursued by Keystone cops in Central Park. Others are mundane. A drunken doorkeeper who refuses to unlock the Church of the Holy Sepulchre. Though the film represents nationalities in stereotypical ways, often juxtaposed one with the other. So like you have Americans carrying assault weapons casually slung over their shoulders while Parisian ambulance drivers are offering three-course meals to a homeless person. The film laughs equally at all the nationalities portrayed. Some of the most interesting scenes are back in his own neighborhood, where his neighbors tell fantastical fables as if they're real life, which is part of the magic realism feel of the whole movie. Is it a dream? Is it reality? Is it his imagination? It Must Be Heaven is a lovely, funny, and thought-provoking look at the strangeness of everyday life. I recommend this one. The Forbidden Reel and The Walrus and The Whistleblower are both streaming at Hot Docs, and It Must Be Heaven is opening across Canada on VOD. This is Daniel Garber, The Movies, each Friday morning on CIUT 89.5 FM and on my website, culturalmining.com.